Grammar Girl here.
Several listeners have asked when they should omit the subordinating conjunction that in their writing. For example, should they write, Squiggly said that it was Aardvark's birthday? Or just, Squiggly said it was Aardvark's birthday? For this sentence, both ways are perfectly grammatical. But if you're following a principle of omitting needless words, you want to leave out the that. Squiggly said it was Aardvark's birthday. Watch out, though. Although that is optional in this example, you can't assume it's optional wherever you see it. Sometimes it's mandatory. And even when it's optional, it's sometimes still a good idea to keep it. Before we go on, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/gg. And now back to the issue of omitting that. Leaving the word that out sounds best with the most common verbs of speech or thought, such as say, think, know, claim, hear, or believe. For example, I believe it's Squiggly's birthday. It saves a word, and it's how people talk. Linguists call these verbs bridge verbs. Non-bridge verbs tend to be verbs that carry extra meaning beyond simply the idea of saying or thinking something, and they don't sound as good when you omit the word that. For example, whisper is a non-bridge verb and doesn't mean just to say something. It means to say it in a particular way. It sounds odd to say, he whispered he wanted another root beer, instead of, he whispered that he wanted another root beer. Not crashingly bad, but just a little off. Newspapers are often guilty of ignoring the difference between bridge verbs and non-bridge verbs, and deleting a that after verbs where it would sound better to leave it in. Here are a couple of examples I adapted from the newspaper section of the Corpus of Contemporary American, called COCA for short. The department confirmed there were some victims. Mexican officials acknowledge they're hampered by a lack of information. Now, to my ear, both these sentences are a bit off and would have sounded better with that after the verbs confirm and acknowledge. Officials acknowledge that they're hampered. Sometimes omitting a that after a non-bridge verb goes beyond being slightly awkward and can actually be confusing. Here's an example from Brian Garner's Modern American Usage. Son acknowledges being a member of a minority may have helped him turn his eyes abroad early. The trouble here is that acknowledge can be a transitive verb. So when a noun phrase comes after it, such as being a member of a minority, the reader might just take it as a direct object. Son acknowledges being a member of a minority. But whoops, the sentence keeps going, and the reader has to go back and reparse it. Garner calls this a miscue, and sentences that produce miscues like this are called garden path sentences. We also talked about garden path sentences in the episode on Christmas carols. So what about the word that after a noun? As with verbs, there are a few nouns that let you get away with omitting that. But other nouns sound odd if you do it, and some nouns are downright confusing if you try deleting a that after them. Some nouns that tolerate that omission pretty well include possibility and feeling, as in, there's a possibility he might say yes, and I get the feeling you don't like me. Nouns that sound awkward if you delete a that include fact. A phrase like, the fact Squiggly likes chocolate, is clear enough, but it's really awkward sounding. When newspaper copy editors follow an overly zealous that striking policy, we end up with clunky sentences like these examples from COCA. Calvert Group removed contractors Titan Corp and CACI International from its social index over allegations they were involved in abusing Iraqi prisoners. The Packers haven't drafted a quarterback despite rumors they were interested in doing so. These sentences would sound a lot better with that inserted after the nouns allegations and rumors. The Packers haven't drafted a quarterback despite rumors that they were interested in doing so. As with verbs, that deletion after a noun isn't always just awkward. Sometimes it's confusing. The reason is that that can perform two functions after a noun. First, it can introduce a relative clause, also known as an adjective clause, as in the rumor that Fenster heard. Second, it can introduce a clause that just explains what the noun is. For example, the rumor that Fenster started dyeing his hair. When that introduces a relative clause, it can usually be deleted, provided it's not the subject of the relative clause. For example, in the rumor that Fenster heard, we can omit that and write the rumor Fenster heard. On the other hand, if that is introducing one of those explanatory clauses, it usually can't be deleted. If you do, the reader's likely to mistake what follows for a relative clause. If you remove that from our second example, it starts out as the rumor Fenster started, which sounds just fine, until the clause keeps on going. The rumor Fenster started dyeing his hair. Then the reader realizes you're talking not about a rumor started by Fenster, but about a rumor to the effect that Fenster started dyeing his hair. When I read a sentence like that, it wastes my time because I end up rereading it and mentally inserting the missing that. It's another miscue, creating a garden path sentence. As with verbs and nouns, there are adjectives that can tolerate that deletion pretty well, and adjectives that don't. Common adjectives, such as glad or sad, sound fine without a that. For example, I'm glad you came, and we're sad you're leaving. But when they're less common, with more specific meanings, you're better off keeping the that. She's furious you never called would sound better with a that. She's furious that you never called. And so would, we're ecstatic you got the job. It would be better as, we're ecstatic that you got the job. If you're a native English speaker, the main rule to follow here is just to go by your ear. You probably know what sounds natural and what doesn't, and all you need to do is give that native speaker intuition more weight and authority than a rule stating that you should omit that whenever possible. If you're not a native speaker, I recommend keeping the that unless you're dealing with a verb, noun, or adjective that you know will sound good without it. It's safer to leave it in than to leave it out. And as you write and read more, you'll identify more of the words that will allow you to omit that and still sound okay. Thanks again to Audible for sponsoring the podcast. I noticed today that the new section I've been waiting for from one of my favorite authors has launched. It's called Neil Gaiman Presents, and here's how he describes it. Quote, "These are terrific books by great authors that I hand-picked from the audiobook creation exchange, matched up with just the right narrators and personally produced. I hope you'll enjoy them as much as I do," unquote. There are 8 books in his little imprint, and I'm guessing they'll all be great. Audible is always looking for ways to bring more great books to listeners, and you can get a free 14-day trial and a free audiobook to keep by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/gg. That's audiblepodcast.com/gg. This podcast was written by Neil Whitman, who has a PhD in linguistics and blogs at literalminded.wordpress.com. Check him out. And I'm Mignon Fogarty, and you can find a complete transcript of this podcast and hundreds of other great articles at quickanddirtytips.com. That's all. Thanks for listening. The podcast closing song is March 4th, the National Grammar Day theme song, and it's available at iTunes.